today, as I hear that intro today, I'm reminded that in 2 weeks we're going to be baptizing, doing a water baptism service here at Destiny. And we've had several who signed up already. So if you haven't signed up and you would like to be water baptized, we would love, love, love to baptize you. Water baptism becomes our public confession of saying we are publicly identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You may have asked Jesus into your heart, and you may have walked into a new relationship with him privately, but when there's something about going public and saying, I want to publicly identify, and whether you've been saved just a few short weeks and recently given your heart to Christ, or you've been saved for a long time. We've never been water baptized. We'd love to baptize you. It's a great celebration here at Destiny. Or maybe you're like me when I was baptized as a young child, and when as I got older as an adult, I decided to do it again because I had a better understanding of what it meant. And I wanted just to do that. To me personally, I felt like I needed to do it as an adult just as I had more of an understanding. And so whatever your case, we would love to water baptize you. If you want more information, they'll be getting a hold of you the week of the baptism, but we need you to sign up in the back at the Welcome Center and let us know you want to be water baptized. Now today, we're going to start a new series today, and I'm going to be preaching for a few weeks here on the power to change. The power to change. How many know Jesus is the change specialist? If you didn't know that, you don't know Jesus very well. Jesus is the change specialist. And we see in Scripture where people who encountered Jesus were left changed. I mean, think of Zacchaeus, man. The dude, it was one of the biggest crooks, biggest crime mob leaders in the history of time. And he's the most hated outcast man, spends one lunch with Jesus. We don't know everything that happened in that conversation. All we know is that after he left that lunch, he says, I'll repay everything I've ever stolen to anybody above and beyond. I'm giving it all back, and I'm following Jesus. I mean, he had a way of impacting people and changing their life. They were healed. They were changed. And just because you have failed to change something in your past, don't give up on the hope and faith that God can change something in your future. Because you've tried to change in the past and failed, don't lose faith and hope that God can change it in the future. We see in Scripture oftentimes when people were going through a big struggle, that the Bible would list the time frame they carried that infirmity, they carried that struggle. When the woman with the issue of blood, it says she carried it for 12 years. And the woman who had the bent over spine and she was hunched over, 18 years she walked that way. To the man who was laying beside the pool, it was 38 years he was waiting. We see these numbers there. They're not there just because of the fill of space in the Bible, but he's trying to show something to us that don't give up because you don't get the answer you want right away. Change is possible, and change can happen. And we're going to talk about that today. And today, many times, the miracles of God, they were a combination of principles plus power. Principles that God gave us to follow, plus the power that he wanted to unleash in our life. And for example, when he committed his first miracle, what did Jesus do? He says, go fill the buckets. Go fill the containers with water and then bring them back to me. Before he turned the water into wine, they had to use faith to go fill it up with water first. Seemed kind of foolish to go fill this thing up with water. He's going to turn into wine. But they had to operate in faith. Do what he said in faith. Remember when he told the nobleman's son, he said, come and heal my son. He said, you go return to your son. He's already been made whole. And it's his act of going home in faith that we see where God operated. We see where he told his disciples when they said, we're not catching any fish, man. We're not catching any fish. There's no fish to be caught all night. He says, cast your nets on the other side. One more time. And they had to, by faith, throw it out there. And they got so many fish in their net, their nets were ripping and breaking. They had to have help from other boats to come in, help them pull it in. We see where he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, you got to first remove the stone. Remove the stone. He's been dead for 3 days. By now, he stinketh. That's King James for, he stink, baby. He rotten. He said, remove the stone. See, there's an act. There's always something God's asking us to do to activate our faith. He told the blind guys, remember when he made the mud balls and stuck them in their eyes? He said, now go to the pool and wash yourself. I mean, he still can't see. Now he just spit in the ground, made mud balls, and slapped it in their eyeballs. Go wash yourself in the pool. By faith, that had to be let and go find that place. I mean, there was always, and when they cleaned their eyes, they could see. See, there's principles that God's wanting us to do to sometimes to engage the power that God's wanting to release for change in our life. But as I thought about it, see if you catch this. We often struggle. We often struggle with receiving the free gift of grace and try to earn it. Now, if you've been in our church very long at all, there's one thing you'll hear us consistently teach on is the fact that grace is given to us. And we are people of grace. And we cannot earn our relationship with God. We cannot earn our right standing with God. We believe that comes through a covenant relationship with Jesus that happened on the cross. It is freely given to us. And the more I teach that, you know, that I let you know that Jesus is not coming back down to get on the cross. He's already covered all of our sins. It's just up to us to walk in that covenant relationship, and it's freely given to us. We have been accounted righteousness. We have been given that free righteousness in right standing with God. And so it's hard for us to comprehend that, though, isn't it? It's easier for me to say, you come down here and you pray 10,000 prayers, and you walk around your hands and knees 500 times around the building, pain and suffering, to show God how serious you really are. We can comprehend that. And the more we preach grace, sometimes the harder we have a hard time, and we still try to earn it. You ever notice that? That's one of the biggest obstacles when I've come to Christians and teaching grace is we still feel like we have to earn it. You know, I'm just not good enough on my own. I've got to earn this. I don't get it freely. And we're trying to release to you the power of receiving grace freely by faith. But let me tell you, when it comes to change, it's just the opposite with change. Think about this. When it comes to change in our life, we want it free and don't want to work for it. I tell you about the free gift of grace, and you want to work to earn it. And then I tell you about how to change, and you want it free, and you don't want to work for it. Come on now. Isn't this so true? This is so true in our life. We want change to come. God, I want to change. But then we don't want to do anything to activate that change. We don't want to do anything to change what's happening in our life. And we just want it to happen like this. It doesn't work that way. Yes, salvation works that way. Yes, the grace of God works that way. Yes, my righteousness works that way. But true change takes some activation of doing some principal authority, spiritual authority in my life and operating in it. So let's go over today. I want to teach you some things today. Just going to give you the first part of this message. Steps to change. I want to give you some practical steps to change that we can back up in Scripture and look at. The first step for change that I want to talk to you today is revelation. Turn to your neighbor and say, revelation. We've got to have a revelation. Look what Paul said to the Ephesians church in 1:18. Ephesians 1:18, making mention of you in my prayer. So Paul's saying, I'm praying this prayer for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and what else? Revelation. Come on, say it out loud. God would give us a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of what? Revelation. In the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That we could see the revelations, what He's saying. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of His glory, of the inheritance of the saint. Paul says, I'm praying for you. And he didn't say, I'm praying for something new to you, did he? He didn't say, I'm praying that God gives you something new. He says, I'm praying that you get a revelation. Because, see, revelation is not creation. Let me unpack that for you. Revelation is not creation. Revelation is not the creation of something new. It's not a new word God has spoken. Revelation is not something new principle that you just all of a sudden is coming into order. No, revelation is us understanding something that's already been, that's always been, that we're just now being revealed to us. Oh, I understand that. He says, may their eyes be enlightened. Why would he say that to us? Because, remember, Paul had the Damascus Road experience. He had scales placed over his eyes. And after he was blinded, and remember, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he had an encounter with Christ, and later on, the scales fell from his eyes, and he realized, man, I've been persecuting, and when I've been persecuting, he's the Messiah. He had a revelation. His eyes were able to see all along. Did Jesus all of a sudden become Lord? No. He just had a revelation that this one I was persecuting, he really is the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He's just not a prophet or a good teacher. He had a revelation. And so he was saying, I'm praying the same thing for us, that our eyes would be able to see who we really are in Christ and who God really is to us. Our enlightenment would happen. Once I have a revelation of something, then I can pursue it. I can say, I'm thirsty, but there's no water in this room. And all of a sudden I realize, oh, there's a water over here. It's been there the whole time. It didn't just show up. It's been there the whole time. I just didn't see it. Now I can pursue after it, open it up, and begin to drink it. You see, there's spiritual authority we've been given. There's revelation that God's wanted to reveal to you certain things for change in our life. They're not new things. They've always been there as the foundation of the Christian walk. The spiritual principle God has laid out, he says, I just want to reveal them to you so that we can have a better understanding. It's going to take revelation. And it's the revelation many times in our life is so that we can pursue it. But the reason some things haven't changed yet in our life, come on now, I'm talking to you, so turn to your neighbor and get ready. Say, get ready for this. The reason some things haven't changed in our life, it's because there's some things that we haven't seen yet. The reason some of us haven't changed some things, some strongholds in our life, is there's some things that we just haven't seen yet. And Paul says, I'm praying that you have a revelation. See, we fail at change many times because we're trying to change our fruit and not our root. I told you it's going to be good today. I hope you're taking notes. Often we fail at change because we try to change our fruit and not our root. When we are trying to change, we're like, man, I want to change the fruit I'm producing. I don't like what's coming out of this. And so we try to change the fruit. And you know what? I got to quit producing this. And so all of a sudden we want to produce this. And we want to change the way we talk and change the negativity. And we want to change some things. And all of a sudden, we're trying to change our fruit. But in all reality, if I want to change what I'm producing, I got to get to the root of the problem. I can, maybe this way, summer's here, we know this. I can weed whack all of my weeds I want to. But unless I destroy the root of that weed, it's going to return back next week. It's going to happen, right? We know this. And so if you really want to get rid of some of those weeds, you got to get something that will penetrate down into the root of the weeds to see them disappear. Otherwise, you're just cutting them off at the top and they keep growing back. For some of us, that's how we handle our problems. You know, this is my change. Whack off the top. It's all taken care of. But the root's still there. And then at some point, it begins to regrow and I get that same result. You see, true change comes when I can get a revelation of what's the root of the problem in my life. That's really what we got to get to. What is the root of the problem in my life? Not the fruit of the problem, the root of the problem. That's what I got to get to. When I've talked to people who struggle with strongholds and addiction and a pattern of continue having things happen in our life bad, I realize that most bad habits stream from a river of hurt. Most of our bad habits come out of a stream of hurt in our life. And we're trying to fix something that has to do not with the habit, it has to do with the hurt in our life. And if I don't know where that hurt is stemming from, I'm not going to get to the root of the problem. And so I've got to begin to pray to God and say, God, show me. Quit trying to fix the bad habit and let's fix the bad hurt. Are you following me? Stop trying to fix the bad habit and let's fix the bad hurt. Let's get to the root of the problem. Where are these feelings of insecurity really coming from? Where are these feelings of inadequacy really coming from? Where are these feelings of fear really coming from? Where are these feelings of depression and rejection really coming from? Where are these feelings of I'm not going to have enough, where are they really coming from? Where are these feelings of greed really coming from? We have these things. We got to get to the root of the problem and deal with the bad hurt, not the bad habit. We need to pray for revelation of seeing who God says I am. Revelation is seeing what's stopping me from changing. We need to pray, God, give me revelation. Show me why this root and where it's coming from. God, show me. I know I feel bad. I feel bad for the fruit it's producing, but I just don't want to feel bad. I want to know why it's producing in my life. God, show me. See, if you're ever going to see true change, you got to get to the root of the problem. God, why am I depending on this instead of you? God, why am I always making the same pattern mistake, even though I don't want to do it? Why am I doing that? There's something that's deep-rooted in me that I've got to deal with that root of the problem and then begin to attack that root and quit attacking the bad habit and start attacking the root of the problem. It's the revelation. God, I reveal who you are and then reveal where it's coming from. We need to stop taking the wrong medication for our problem. Let me say it to you this way. Sometimes we take Tylenol and we take maybe some sinus medicine for something that really we need an antibiotic for. I've done that before. I was in pain and I'm taking over-the-counter things thinking that, you know, I just take this symptom here. And these medicines by themselves are good, but what I really needed was an antibiotic to run through my body. Are those medicines bad? No. They're good medicine, but they're not treating the real symptom. And that's kind of what's happened. We're trying to deal with our problems and change the symptoms. We're trying to change it by using good medicine, but it's not the right medicine. The right medicine is what is going to affect the root of the problem. And so that's where you got to get a revelation. God, you got to show me, reveal to me, show me where I'm depending on this out of my life. Number two, you got to have motivation. If you're going to change, you got to have some motivation. How many know we need motivation to change, right? Come on now, you're not that self-driven. You need motivation to change. I need motivation to change. You need motivation to change. And it's funny how we'll see people who need motivation to change. Let me give you this statement. The why power, and let me clear this up for those listening on the podcast. That's W-H-Y. Why power. Come on now, that's funny. I'll make sure I get this right. Why power is stronger than willpower. Why power is stronger than willpower? Because I know people who have great willpower, but willpower eventually will give out. You got to have the why power when it comes to seeing the breakthrough and the change in your life. I've noticed that when people suffer major heart attacks and they survive, isn't it amazing how they change their lifestyle? I mean, you'll go to the doctor, he'll tell you, change your diet, lower your cholesterol, get the walking, get the exercise. You're like, it ain't killed me yet. I'm all right, you know. Our days are numbered anyway. Who really cares, you know. I'm just going to live my life and enjoy it. If that means I die a couple months early, whatever, you know. I don't even worry about it. And then you have a heart attack and get a scare and think, man, I could. All of a sudden, you will leave that hospital and you will walk to the mall and buy yourself a pair of walking shoes or running shoes. And all of a sudden, you're out there exercising. You're pushing back play. You're taking the trash and putting all the junk food in there. And you're getting your medications right. And you're getting your diet right. And you're Googling things. Why? Because you're like, I don't want to go through that again. And so, see, the pain of that motivated you to make a lifestyle change. See, two things that motivate us to change are pain and pleasure, right? When we're going to get something out of it. We see the plus side, and the pain of it pushes us also, motivates us. And that's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, this is the exercise I want you to do. Write this down. Now, you don't have to fill it all out today, but what I'm asking you to do is to write this statement down. Then later on, I want you to go and fill this out. Write down, if I don't change this, then make a line, leave it blank. If I don't change this, that addiction, that stronghold, that bad habit you have, this is what can happen to me. And begin to list it out. Boy, if I don't change this, I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my reputation. I'm going to be embarrassed. If I don't change this, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose this. And start listing them out. If I don't change this, this is what's going to happen. And list out those things that are going to happen if you keep the same pattern you got there. Come on now. I'm talking about being honest with yourself and saying, you know what? I need to think this through. Boy, I'm not ready for somebody else my kids to call somebody else daddy. I think I want to change what I'm doing right now. Oh, I think I'm not ready to lose my house. I think I want to change the way I'm spending my money right now. Oh, I think I'm not ready for somebody else to be living with my husband and married to him. I think I'll change the way I'm acting right now. I'm not ready. Come on now, I'm just preaching where we're living today. Don't look at me like I'm not, because you know I am. I'm telling you where we're at, all of us in this room, that we've got to say, you know what, if I keep doing this, if I keep talking this way to my children, they're going to grow up resenting me. I've got to learn to get my anger management under control and find out what's the root of this coming from. Where did this come from in my life, and get to it. If I keep spending money this way, it's out of control. I told the Lord the other day, I was going through a time and I was saying, God, I was going through some things he was correcting me on. And I just sat down and I kneeled down and thanked him. I said, God, thank you that you love me enough to correct me. Thank you that you love me enough to correct me. I see where things can be a bad pattern in my life. And I see that far in advance, you're cutting off some things in my life that would stop me from being in trouble later. And I just got into a spirit of worship. God, thank you. And I just thank the Lord for that. You know, and we got to see those things. We need to identify things in our lives that can be strongholds and say, if I follow through with this, what's it going to look like? And the opposite, say, you know what? If I stop doing this, what's it going to look like? Oh, wow, my marriage is going to be stronger. My relationship with my children is going to be stronger. Wow, I'm going to be more secure. I'm going to take away the financial burden here. I'm going to quit spending all this money on this, and I'll have more money to do things. All these things we list out the positives. Identify them, write them out, make a plan, look it out on paper and see it, and look at it and say, you know what? Wow, I like the positives. I like those positives. God, I want to focus on when I get ready to make a bad decision, I want to focus. I don't want to live this list. I want this list right here. So I'm going to use the why power instead of the willpower. Come on now, because the willpower is strong some days and some days it's not. You know what I'm talking about. I don't care how strong you are. Willpower alone doesn't do it. List it out. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's just preaching where we're living today. That's it. Look what Galatians 6:7 says. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We sow to the flesh, we reap of the flesh. We sow to the Spirit, we reap from the Spirit. We see this here in Scripture that if you don't like the harvest you have right now, if you don't like the fruit your life is producing, then change your seed. Simple as it is. And I told someone the other day, I was like, I know right now you're planting good seed. And right now you're reaping some bad seed. Don't give up, because you don't understand that you're changing the root system. And eventually, that bad fruit's going to rot off. And eventually, new life's going to begin to happen again, and you're going to begin to see some new fruit coming. But what will you do in the in-between? How will you stick that out? So if you don't like the harvest you're reaping, change what you're sowing. That was worth the price of admission right there. I won't charge you anything. Step number 3, communication. Communication. Let me ask you a question. What do you talk to God about? What are your conversations like to God? Our prayer time is usually filled with our communication with God. Come on, let's just be honest. It's usually filled with the tyranny of the urgent. Whatever the urgent is, that's what we're praying about, right? God, boy, God, I need you here. I need you this. I need you. There's this problem going on right now, and I really need you. There's nothing wrong with praying about our present problems. But let me ask you this. When was the last time you talked to God about you? When was the last time you talked to God about you instead of just about your problems? When's the last time you had a conversation with the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit? If you've been here very long at all, you know that we teach in the power of the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've often taught that we get up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll. Let's do this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there ready to walk with me every day. And I've got to communicate. He's communicating to me, and I'm communicating to the Holy Spirit. And so today, when's the last time you communicate with the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you communicated in your prayers about you and not just about your problems, not just about the urgent prayer requests, but when have you stopped and talked to God about you, about yourself? Look what Romans 12:2 says. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then this will be, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let me ask you the question. Will the Holy Spirit just jump in and take over my body? No. Right? We can agree on this. The Holy Spirit would not just all of a sudden overtake me unless I surrender to it. The Holy Spirit is just not going to jump in and take over control of my body unless I surrender to it. So how does it usually work? Usually the Holy Spirit will speak to me. He will place thoughts of God's will in my mind. Hey, you need to work on improving this. Have you thought about doing this today? I want you to do this act of kindness for God today. I want you to pray for this person today. I want you to work on changing this in your life today. And the Holy Spirit is revealing God's will to us, putting it into our mind, and then my heart comes into agreement, and my spirit come into agreement with what the Holy Spirit is putting in my mind, and I have to decide, will I yield to that, or will I reject that? And so what we're teaching is this, that we learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit every day, right? You put those thoughts in my mind, my heart comes into agreement. Yeah, I want to implement that. I want to change from the inside out. God, I want to walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit every day in my life. And so I'm going to walk in that communication. I'm going to come into agreement with what he's putting in there so that I can get more revealed to me. And I can get more power revealed and more change happening. But that comes through an act of me surrendering what he's putting in my mind. Right? Okay. So if that is true, now let's look at the polar opposite here. The very opposite also must be true. Can Satan just jump in as a Christian? Can Satan just jump in and overtake my body? No. No. As a Christian, he has no right, he has no authority just to jump in and take control over my life. But he will come and attack my mind. He comes in and plants seeds in my mind of doubt, seeds of self-pleasure, selfishness, things that I am in my mind, and he plants them there, and then I have to decide with my heart whether or not I will surrender to those thoughts and go with that, or I will reject them and take those thoughts captive. But the problem is this. This is the problem we have in the church when it comes to demonic influence, when it comes to evil spirits, and I'm going there, it's all right. It's all right. I'm just going to talk about it today. This is a very real thing. But the problem we have is this is Hollywood has ruined it for us. Because we think, well, as long as my head's not spinning and foam's not coming out my mouth, and I'm talking like this, blood shooting out my eyeballs, then I'm not demonic to possess. But every time we yield to what Satan's putting in my mind, I'm giving control to demonic influences in my life. See, and so I've got to decide. This is why the strongholds are there, because I'm yielding to them. And I've got to decide, what will I yield to? What will I yield to? Will I yield to the thoughts that Satan's putting there? Or will I yield control over to the Holy Spirit? Look what it says in Scripture right here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing what? Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is for the believer. So Satan is putting into our mind stronghold thoughts, and it's up to me to take those thoughts captive and not act on them. It's up to me. We got to get rid of those strongholds. Some people have been struggling with strongholds. It's become a pattern for your life. It's become a pattern for your family. It's become a pattern for you. Some things we call a habit are really strongholds. I just got a bad habit. No, you got a stronghold. Because it's producing a lot of bad fruit in you and your family. It's not a bad habit. It's a stronghold. And you've got to use your spiritual authority over your mind to conquer that over the stronghold. That's what he says. The pulling down of the strongholds. That every thought becomes captive in our mind. What simply means this. That for some change, it's not going to happen on a psychologist's couch. Nothing wrong with Christian counselors. Go to them. They are there to help us. I believe in Christian counselors. But some change is not going to happen on the couch of a counselor or a psychiatrist. Some change for the Christian is only going to happen when you pull up your big boy pants and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to use the spiritual authority God's given me to take those thoughts, negative thoughts, captive in my mind. God, you had revealed to me that I am insecure in this area of my life. You revealed to me that. So the problem is not that I have a sex addiction. The problem is this, I don't see myself intimate with you. And I'm getting intimacy from this. And so therefore, I'm allowing myself to be pulled in this sexual way when it's really not a sexual addiction. It's an intimacy problem. And the fact that I never feel like I qualify, and I never feel loved. You've never seen yourself the way God's shown you, and he reveals this to you. And then when those thoughts come in your mind, you know what? Thoughts of insecurity, I reject you in the name of Jesus. I take you captive in the name of Jesus. When you have thoughts that attack your mind, you're going to be broke. You're going to be broke. You're going to lose everything. I battle sometimes. Fear comes on your mind. You know, Satan, that is just, God, I now in the name of Jesus, Satan, I come against you. You're putting that fear in my mind in the name of Jesus. I am not going to be broke. I am not going to live my life a victim. But you know what, God, you're going to see me through. And God, you've got control no matter what happens. And God, my security is not in horses. My security is not in chariots. But my trust is in the Lord of God. You see, I've got to learn to take captive the thoughts that are attacking my mind. That's the only way you're going to see the strongholds come down in your life. And the more I yield to the strongholds, the more I'm giving them a force to grab a hold of my life and control. And I'll walk saved, yes, but I'll live at a subpar level where God wants me to live my life. And I'll continue to struggle with patterns of destruction, things I need to change, until I learn to take captive of those strongholds in my life. Are you receiving this word today? Let me give you one more scripture and we're going to go. Ephesians 4:27. Look what it says here. Short verse. And don't even give the devil a foothold. You know what a foothold is? You ever try to shut the door on somebody and they stick their foot in there real fast? And they can't quite get that door shut. One more thing, let me tell you one more thing. You're like, man, I was just trying to shut the door on you. Will you shut up? A good salesman knows how to get that foot out there in the door, right? Come on, salesman, you know what I'm talking about. A good salesman knows how to put that foot in the door. One more thing. Let me tell you one more benefit. Because I know if they get that foot in the door, there's still a chance. Come on, salesman, say amen. Okay. A good salesman knows that. That's what he was saying. He said, listen, don't even give the devil a foothold. What's that mean? That means this. Don't say, well, God, the Holy Spirit, you're telling me to end this relationship because it's producing some unhealthy things in my life. But I'll just cut back the relationship. I'm doing some things right, but instead of ending it, I'm just going to cut it back. Just keeping the door open slightly. Just gave the devil a foothold. God, you want me to get away from that addiction? So I'm not going to buy any more of this. I'm not going to do any more of that. But I don't want to lose these friends. So still, on Friday night, I'm going to hang out with a certain group. I'm not going to do anything. I'm still going to hang out there. I've just given the devil a foothold. He said, don't even give him a foothold. Use your spiritual authority. Are you receiving this today? Amen. I tell you what, I'm going to give you the second part of this message next week. I'm going to give you some more things next week. But how many today say, Pastor, I'm not even going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm just going to ask you to be straight up and tell me. Say, Pastor, you're speaking right to me today. I need to hear this. Yeah. Several hands. Yeah, that's today. Listen, I can tell you one thing. We're a church that doesn't play games. We don't come in wearing spiritual masks like we get it all together. We don't. You don't got it together. I don't have everything together. We just serve a God who does. Amen? And the more I pursue Him and say, God, I'm learning to surrender all of my life to You. That's what I'm wanting for your life. Real change. Breaking those strongholds. Taking the spiritual authority in your life over your mind. God, show me the root. Show me the root. Show me the root so I can deal with the root, not the habit. So I can take captive that root. I can take captive when that seed begins to plant new roots in my life. No, I'm taking that thing captive. It's not going to be any room there for that. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. If today, if you want to say, Pastor, I'm ready for change. You're preaching right to me. I'm ready for true change in my life. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to pray for you. Now, hands up all over across the auditorium. Father, in the name of Jesus. By the authority of your name, Jesus, I pray right now that there is something happening in the supernatural in every mind of every believer here this morning. Everybody who's raising their hands and saying, Pastor, I'm ready to change. I pray right now that, Father, you begin to give them fresh revelation of not only their relationship with you, but the root of the problem. That they can begin to take captive the root of the problem. They can begin to cut off any root from growing in their mind. And I pray to Father right now, in the name of Jesus, that you begin to do something in the supernatural, in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit. I pray, Father, right now, that change begins to happen. Strongholds are being taken captive, being torn down in the name of Jesus. Satan, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, release, release, release your people, God, in Jesus' name. Satan, release God's people in Jesus' name. Right now, their minds, their hearts, their hurts. I pray freedom, release in the name of Jesus. Release in Jesus. Someone's receiving this right now. Come on, raise your hand. Get your breakthrough this morning. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I command insecurity be released right now in Jesus' name. I pray right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that hurts be released in Jesus' name. And Father, you're releasing those, Father, in Jesus' name. Our eyes are being opened to the revelation that, God, we can begin to communicate with the Holy Spirit, giving full control of the Holy Spirit in our life. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's surrender everything to Him.
Come on, lift your hands and sing it this morning. With everything, with everything, we will shout for Your glory. With them, yes, God. With them, we will shout for Your praise.
Come on, church. He's moving in this place. With everything.
As we were worshiping, I just seen the Holy Spirit just show me in the spirit realm that the scales were falling off. That's what I saw in the spirit. I just saw a big scale just fall off right now. So here's some people this morning. We're not done yet. Just raise your hands. I need my scales to fall off right now in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, in Jesus' name. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray the scales are removed in the name of Jesus. And their eyes are able to see. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are removing those scales this morning. God, I believe this very much in my heart. Prophetically today, I'm speaking that there's a new vision coming. There's a new revelation coming. That you're going to see the root, and you're going to see who God's called you to be. New revelation, new understanding. Scales are falling this morning in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that true change is coming and happening. And today is the root, God, of a new seed being planted, of change in our life. Help us, God, to follow through with yielding to the Holy Spirit, taking every thought captive, that we can be revealed, Father, who you are. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree with this word spoken over your life, put your hands together one more time. You've got a shout of praise. Come on now. Let's give a praise. Hallelujah, Father. I'm ready for part two. How about you? Man, I'm ready. We're going to share the rest of this next week. Some of you are going to have to share this message online with a few people. You know already. You're already making that note. I've got to tag this person. I've got to tag this person. And I've got to tag this family member. You know that. Hey, we're going to see God do some real change in people's lives. God bless you. You guys have a great, great week.